God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the novel Morgan's Passing, the writer Anne Tyler tells the story of a man who is not quite what he seems. The story opens with Morgan watching a puppet show in a park on a Sunday afternoon. After a few minutes, the puppeteer comes out and says, "Is there a doctor in the audience?" Everyone sits in silence for almost a minute. And then Morgan stands up and walks up to the front and says, "What seems to be the trouble?" Well, it turns out that the puppeteer's wife is pregnant and she's just gone into labor. So Morgan gets the two of them and puts them in his car and he heads off to the hospital. While they're still only halfway there, they realize it's too late. The baby's coming now. And so they pull over. Morgan sends this man, the puppeteer, down the street to get some supplies, and he gets into the back of the car and delivers the baby. Then he puts the whole family back in the car. I guess this was before you had to have a newborn car seat. And they drops him off at the emergency room, and then he heads on his way. At the hospital, after they've had some time to recover, this happy couple of new parents ask the doctors, "Where's Dr. Morgan? We'd love to thank him for helping us." "Dr. Morgan," comes back the reply. "We've never heard of a Dr. Morgan." A few months later, they're pushing their baby in the stroller down the street and they see him right there, the man who'd helped deliver this baby. They show him how healthy the baby is and they tell him this strange story about the obstetric department that didn't know Dr. Morgan. "Oh," he admits, "I'm no doctor. I run a hardware store. But you needed a doctor, and in the moment, it wasn't really that hard. In fact, he'd been doing it for years, serving as a doctor, a lawyer, a pastor, a therapist, whatever the moment called for, whatever profession you needed, Morgan was there. But never," he added, "never a plumber or a butcher. They would have found me out in 20 seconds. Now, I don't condone the unlicensed practice of medicine or of law, but I do condone, in fact, I strongly encourage the unlicensed practice of Christianity. After all, that's more or less what the story in today's parable, in today's gospel, are all about. The chief priests and the elders, the licensed religious practitioners and leaders of their day, see Jesus teaching in the temple, and they ask him essentially, "Sorry, who are you? Dr. Jesus? There's no Dr. Jesus here. Who gave you approval to teach in this place?" And Jesus, in typical Jesus fashion, turns it around. They ask who gave Jesus authority. He asks them who gave John the Baptist authority. He knows that they won't insult such a popular figure by saying he shouldn't have been preaching. But in effect here, Jesus is playing at being Morgan. What matters in the end, he seems to say, is not who's authorized the preacher to preach, but what the message is. It's not whether you're a board-certified obstetrician, but whether you can catch the baby. And then Jesus takes another step. Someone, he says, had two children. And he told the first, "Go work in the vineyard." The child grumbled about it and said no, but he showed up to work. And the parent said to the second child, "Go work in the vineyard." "Yes, sir, right away, I'll go do that." But a few hours later, there he is, still sitting on the couch. So which one did what the parent wanted, after all? I don't think it's a trick question. I think it's as obvious as it sounds. The one who says no, but actually does the work, does what the parent wants, not the one who says yes and does nothing. And that's what makes it so pointed. It's not about the titles or the licenses or the certifications that people hold. Jesus says, it doesn't matter whether you say you're a chief priest or an elder, an MD or a Christian. It's not even what you say or what you claim to believe. You can say that you'll work in the vineyard and never go. It's not about any of these things. What it's about, Jesus says, is what you actually do. And in fact, this is what Jesus means by believing. John, he says, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but these other folks did. Believing, in the sense that Jesus means it, isn't only something that happens inside your head, accepting an idea. And it's not something that comes out of your mouth, like in the creeds, we believe in one Lord. And it's not even something that you feel in your heart, a love or a concern for somebody. It's all of these things, but it's something more too. Believing in John the Baptist, believing in Jesus, means doing something, changing, repenting. Not repenting the way that the scary guy with the sign means it, who's always down by Fenway after a ball game. I think you've probably seen him. Promising crowds that they'll burn if they don't accept Jesus as their savior. It's repenting in a different sense. It's reorienting yourself internally in a way that changes the way you actually live your life externally. Not because you're frightened of punishment, but because you're following a new leader, because you accept a new authority by which Jesus teaches. And so when you hear him calling you to work in the vineyard, you turn and you follow him down the path that leads there. I think this is what ministry is. I don't mean my ministry, ordained ministry. I mean all of our ministry, all of our service to our neighbors, to our God, to one another, as ordinary human beings. We wander through life day after day until one day we hear a call and we turn a little bit in one direction or the other. Our path becomes a little clearer. We start to walk a little faster. And soon enough, without even noticing it, we're far away from where we would have been, because even just a small turn at the beginning creates a large distance down the road. You look at where Main Street and Bunker Hill Street start and where they end, and you'll see what I mean. You may not think that you've ever heard this kind of call or experienced this kind of repentance. Too often, I think, in the church, we limit the meaning of a call or of a vocation to ordination. You might not think of the things that you do in everyday life as a ministry. Maybe you've always thought of things in separate slices. There's work, there's family, there are hobbies, there's church. But if you follow the logic of this parable, you might find that it doesn't matter whether our work in the vineyard happens through the church or outside the church, whether we think of the ways we love and care for one another as Christian ministries or simply being human. We don't need to form a committee. We don't even need the rector's approval. Isn't that nice? Because it doesn't really matter in the end what we say or how we believe in our work. What matters is what we do. I've said this to a handful of people, I think, at St. John's, but I'll say it again and again and again to as many of you as I can. I want our life together to start from yes. The parable teaches us, it's true, that saying yes is not enough, but it can be a good start. If you come to me with an idea for something that you want to do, for a ministry you want to create, I will try my best to say yes and maybe try to come up with reasons for no instead of the other way around. If you come to me with an idea for something you want me to do, by the way, I reserve the right to say no. And buyer beware, if you come up with an idea that you want somebody else to do, the church really ought to. That means you're volunteering. Right now in this strange COVID short term, that's often a hard thing to do, to start from a place of yes. There are things that we wish we could do that we can't. There are things that we think should be safe that someone else says aren't. Fair enough. But I plan to be here long after COVID fades into our memories. Well, maybe not too deeply into our memories. This has been pretty bad. But we will emerge one day, and life will look different. There will be things that we will have left on this side that we never pick back up, and there will be new opportunities in the world ahead. I hope that we rise to that challenge together. I hope that we discover new ministries as we serve one another and our community. But even more than that, I hope that each one of us discovers the ways in which our whole lives are a ministry. I hope we learn to recognize that holy voice in our everyday life, not our church life, but our work life, our family life, our hobbies even. That voice that's asking us to go and work in the vineyard as we slowly find ourselves drawn that way. So may we, like Morgan, uncertain and unqualified as we are, answer the call. May we, like the reluctant child, grumpy though we may be, say yes to do the work. May we receive, to quote from our collect for this morning, the fullness of God's grace, that we, running to obtain God's promises, may become partakers of God's heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.